I want to read tonight in Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7. And reading at verse 36. Luke chapter 7, beginning our reading at verse 36. We read, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one ought 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. Mine head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Amen. We end our reading at the end of Luke chapter 7. Tonight I want to bring our little series to a close on the people that Jesus met. And we're going to look here at the closing verses of Luke chapter 7 that I've read to you tonight. We're going to look at a woman that I'm calling the penitent woman. I know that there's much debate among scholars as to whether this is Luke's account of the story concerning Mary of Bethany, which is recorded in Matthew and John. But I believe that this is a different story. And I believe that this is a different woman. Although the events are very, very similar, the anointing of Jesus by Mary of Bethany took place in Bethany, near to Jerusalem, and that was during Passion Week, when the incident that Luke records for us here takes place in Galilee. Some have even suggested that this woman was in fact Mary Magdalene. I could understand that when we see this woman for what she really is, but again, there is no evidence to suggest that is so. The fact is that whatever our views about this passage and this particular anointing, there's no doubt that within this story we see some lovely pictures and we learn some lovely lessons that should challenge all of our hearts tonight, both saved and unsaved alike. So let's turn to it. Let's put the story in its context and let's see what we can learn for our spiritual good. Note first of all the place where Jesus entered. The Lord Jesus has just been involved with a group of Pharisees and lawyers where he has been defending the testimony of John the Baptist. Of course, in Jesus' day, you and I know that as we read through the Gospels, that very often the people came to John the Baptist and they asked him who he was. They were excited by what was happening through the ministry of John the Baptist, but they weren't sure in their own minds as to whether this was indeed the Christ who had been predicted by the prophets. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ reminds the people that as far as he was concerned, John the Baptist was not just a man of prophecy. He was the one who had come to prepare the way for the Savior's earthly ministry. And you know, John had done that so efficiently that the Lord Jesus Christ actually said of John these words. He says, among those that are born of woman, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. After defending John further in the marketplace, where others were still confused about him, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come and to eat in his house. And you'll note that Jesus Christ willingly went to his home. It's interesting to note that the place and the time are not revealed to us. There's no point in speculating. But we know from verse 40 in our reading that this man's name was Simon. Of course, there are many Simons we read of in the scriptures. We don't need to go into that tonight. The thing that we need to grasp is this, that this man, Simon, who invited the Lord Jesus Christ to his home, was a Pharisee. In other words, he's a member of a self-righteous group of people who were filled with their own self-importance, who saw themselves as the spiritually light of their day. But unfortunately, despite their air of super spirituality, they failed to practice what they preached and they lost favor in the eyes of the people. Now we cannot be sure as to why Simon actually asked Jesus to come to his home. But there's one thing sure. If you look at verses 44 to 46, you'll know that Simon didn't ask him to come out of love. Because Jesus exposes this man in the light of all that the woman does. Jesus exposes this man for his lack of love. So it wasn't love that brought him to encourage the Lord Jesus to come and eat in his home. Might be he did it out of sheer curiosity. It might be that he wanted to belittle the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of his Pharisee friends. But for whatever reason, the Lord Jesus Christ came to his home and he had a meal with him. And you'll note that as the continuing ministry of Jesus Christ unfolds, you see some very interesting things. In Luke's Gospel, for example, Jesus has already been in the home of Matthew, the tax collector. He was a rogue. He was a thief. He was a cheat. He was hated by the people of his day. He was one of the most despised people in society, and yet Jesus called that man Matthew to himself. He had gone to his home for a meal. Our sisters have been singing about ordinary people. None more ordinary than this man, Matthew. If you and I had been sent out on a mission to go and bring in somebody who would be useful to the work of God, and we came to the booth where this man, Matthew or Levi, was sitting, and as a rogue and cheating the public, we'd have walked on past looking for somebody else. But this is the very man that Jesus put his hand upon, and Jesus had previously been in the home of Matthew the publican. Now he comes to the other end of the scale. He comes to a man who sees himself highly regarded as far as society is concerned. He's a self-righteous man. He's highly respected. He's one of the leading leaders in the super spiritual Pharisees who were leading the people astray. And yet Jesus comes to his home too. Why? Because whether it was a man like Matthew, who was a tax collector, a rogue, and a cheat, or whether it was this other man who was a Pharisee and a man with a great standing in society, they both shared the same thing. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to both of them because they both had the same need. And it further emphasizes the fact that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Doesn't matter whether they're thieves. Doesn't matter if they're self-righteous. Doesn't matter if they're man or woman. It matters not. The fact is that Jesus Christ was prepared to enter any home where he could meet a need and any heart where individuals were prepared to accept him. And thank God he does exactly the same tonight. You see, Jesus Christ is no respecter of persons. Doesn't matter who you are tonight, why you've come, where you stand, whether you're a churchgoer or not a churchgoer, whether you could identify yourself with this rogue Matthew, or whether you're a self-righteous person who's already been to church this morning, depending on that church for the whole of eternity. Doesn't matter who you are tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is no respecter of persons. He sees us for what we really are. And he sees us for what we can be when he touches these lives of ours. Let me highlight two very simple things, two problems regarding people of our day and generation when it comes to the problem of sin, when it comes to this great thing called salvation. Let me tell you two things tonight about people of our day. Some people think when they hear about sin, and when they sit under the preaching of the gospel, they think that they are too bad and so bad that they're not worth saving. They think their lives are in such a mess that nobody cares about their predicament. They think that there's nothing that anybody can do for them, even if they did care. Friend, let me tell you tonight, if that's how you feel, and you look at your life tonight and you feel that right in the very center of your being, that you're a gross sinner in the sight of God, that you don't even feel that you should be in a meeting like this, that you're getting exactly what your sin deserves. If that's what you feel tonight, let me tell you this. You're the very person that Jesus Christ wants to save. For after all, not only did he come into the world to save sinners, he said himself he didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners to repentance. So there's hope for you tonight in the gospel. It doesn't matter who you are or the mess that you have made of your life. It doesn't matter how far down in sin you might be. There is hope for you in Jesus Christ. As we have been singing, there's victory in Jesus if you're prepared to turn to him and leave that sinful life of yours. You say, but Pastor, surely Jesus Christ wouldn't be interested in me. Oh, he's interested in you, okay. And more than that, he knows everything about you. He knows who you are. He knows every detail of your life. He knows the things that you have never told. He knows the things that nobody has ever seen. Jesus Christ knows every detail about you. And yet tonight, still willing and able to save you. Isn't that a wonderful thing? For Jesus Christ saves the vilest of sinners. How do we know that? Let me introduce you to a man called Saul of Tarsus. You perhaps know him better as the Apostle Paul. But before he became the Apostle Paul, when we first are introduced to this man, we find him, and he's holding clothes for those who stoned Stephen, the first martyr, to death. And then he's going about his business, taking those who claim to be Christians, taking them, putting them in chains, throwing them into prison cells, doing everything that he can to stamp out this so-called Christian faith. He's a religious bigot. He's a blasphemer. He's not the kind of man you wanted to have met in a road heading to Damascus in the dark. This man was a bad man. He was rotten to the core, if you can put it in an Ulsterism. He even described himself as being the chief of all sinners. Do you know what happened then? The Lord Jesus Christ met with him, challenged him about his sin, took him out of the depth of his sin and changed him around. And this man who once blasphemed the Savior's name became a real blessing to many of the Savior's people. And only salvation can do that, and only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. What I'm trying to say to you tonight is this. If there's a heart that is waiting, a heart that knows tonight the depth of its sin, and knows that it's far from God and not even worthy of the least of His mercy. If there's someone tonight in the meeting like this, whether you're a man or a woman, and your life has been wrecked and ruined with sin, and you feel that you're such a sinner, that God's not interested in you, that Christ's not interested in you, friend, they are. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants to come to where you are. He wants to deal with the sin problem in your life. And I can tell you that no matter what your sin might be, that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, can cleanse you from all sin. All sin. You're not too bad tonight that you can't be saved. But you know, on the other hand, there are some people tonight who think that they're so good that they don't need saving. That's one of the greatest tragedies in what we call our so-called Christian country. People who see themselves as so respectable, as so socially acceptable, so obsessed with their own religion, so influenced by what they do, that they just don't feel tonight that they need to be saved. They're not sinners like everybody else. They're not a rogue. They've never cheated. They've never held close while somebody was stoned to death like Saul of Tarsus. Always pointing at others and saying, I would never do this, that, or the other thing. I'm not that type of person. That's why I don't need God's salvation, because I'm all right the way I am. I'm a respectable kind of man or woman. Well, that might be so in your own estimation. For you to think that you are a sinner in your mind is unthinkable, goes against everything that you stand for. But friend, you need a Savior too. You're not that good, nor too good that you don't need saving. If I had time, I'd introduce you to a man called Nicodemus. He came to Jesus, came in the nighttime so that others wouldn't know what he was about. But that man too was a ruler of the Jews. I mean, he knew his stuff. You want religion, you want to sit with Nicodemus. And when he came after a conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus didn't say to him, Nicodemus, my, your religion's commendable. And you're such a good man, Nicodemus. I didn't come for people like you. You're fine the way you are. He looked into the eyes of that religious leader, a man that people would have come to for spiritual guidance. He looked right at him and he said to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Put it another way, your religion and your respectability are not enough. You're a sinner in God's sight and you need to experience the new birth. You need to be born from above. You hear tonight and you feel you're all right the way you are, quite happy for the preacher to talk about people getting saved, quite happy for others to be identified as sinners. But not you, man or woman. you just might be the very person tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is thinking about. And the one who's in this meeting tonight, that you might meet the Savior and have your life transformed. I see the place where Jesus entered. But then I see the person whom Jesus embraced. Do you know, in the home of this Pharisee, a very strange incident was to take place. A certain woman arrives at the house and she proceeds to impose herself on the situation. Now, there's no doubt whatsoever that this woman was uninvited. She's not the sort of woman that you and I would have expected to have been invited to such a proud man's house. But look at her for a moment. Look at her reputation. According to Luke, this woman was simply a sinner. But then we have to look at what he means by that and the word that he uses. Because what it literally means is that this is a woman who has entered into the house of this proud Pharisee, and this is a woman of ill repute. She has a bad reputation. No way she got an invitation. No way that she was encouraged to come and meet with these Pharisee and his friends. This woman had come. She had a bad reputation in the town. In fact, there are some translations that refer to her as a harlot or a prostitute. Of that we cannot be sure. But there's one thing absolutely clear, that before she arrived, her reputation in the town had gone before her. She was well known around the town. Not the kind of person the Pharisees would have kept face with publicly. But you know something? She wasn't any better, nor she wasn't any worse than Simon the Pharisee. She was just the same. Because she too was just another sinner that needed saving. Pastor, you telling me that the Lord Jesus Christ would save a harlot? You telling me that the Lord Jesus would save a woman of ill repute? I'm telling you tonight that there are many women of ill repute and harlots who have been saved, because the Lord Jesus Christ will save anyone and everyone that comes to him in repentance. You've forgotten about the woman at Sychar's well? With her long list of husbands and living with a man now that's not her husband at all, did Jesus turn her away? No, he exposed her sin and brought her to himself. Forgotten about Mary Magdalene? The woman that the scripture says, out of whom the Lord Jesus Christ cast out 7 devils? A woman whose reputation went before her. Yet the Lord Jesus Christ transformed her life. Listen, friend. Some of us here tonight might be people who are respecter of persons, but I can tell you Christ will receive you just the way you are. He'll come to you just where you are, and it doesn't matter how deep down in sin that might be. Even if your reputation goes before you, the Lord Jesus is waiting and willing to save you. How can he do it, you say? Because already he has dealt with your sin at the cross. Tonight in our closing piece, as the group led us, Jim led us in that piece, thank you for the cross. You see, friends, it's at the cross of Calvary that your sin and my sin is dealt with. When Jesus Christ went to that cross, he took your sin and mine upon himself. Bore it all away in his own body in the tree. He says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. I've died for you. I've dealt with your sin. I'm willing to pardon you. And he's not too interested in your reputation. But he's greatly interested in your salvation. Her reputation, it went before her. Look at her response to Jesus. Whatever this woman had been, I believe that in coming to Jesus Christ, she was divinely pardoned. She may have previously heard about Christ. Maybe she found in his speech words of comfort for her own soul. Why on earth would she have entered the house that day if that had not been the case? She wasn't invited to the meal. She couldn't have fellowship with these particular men. She wasn't accepted by Simon and his friends. But you know something? She found solace at the feet of the Savior of sinners. What a place to come. What an acceptance is waiting. She came with her reputation going before her. She came with all her sin and her shame and with a life of degradation. And she found solace and salvation at the foot of the Lord Jesus. How can you be sure, Pastor? Well, had she not been divinely pardoned, she would never have expressed her gratitude to Christ the way she did. Taking a bottle of very expensive perfume, breaking the neck of the bottle, pouring it out upon Jesus, wiping his very feet with tears that streamed from her face. For this woman, this was a matter of great cost. But to her it mattered not because she must give Jesus her best. She's overwhelmed by the guilt of her past. And now she's glad she's forgiven and she wants to thank Jesus. And what a way to do it. Oh, I know Simon challenges her. He criticizes the situation. But she is so grateful that she must show Jesus how much he matters to her. I know it's a gospel meeting, but let me pause for a moment. How do we tonight respond to Christ as his people? In the light of Calvary love, in the light of the blessing of salvation, in the light of all that has been done for us at the place called Calvary, haven't you and I to respond tonight to him? Certainly not like this woman did. Because we often give him only what we have to, not what he deserves. We give him what remains when we have had the best, rather than giving him what he's entitled to. And that is first place in our lives. Can I ask you tonight, do you really appreciate your salvation? Or could it be that tonight God is speaking to your heart and reminding you who once walked well with the Lord Jesus that maybe tonight you're backslidden? And you've lost sight of the wonder of it all. Those days when you read his word and thought of Calvary and every thought of Christ stirred you passionately. Made the tears flow when you said, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and so free. Could it be tonight the tears have stopped and the gratitude is gone? And the Lord Jesus Christ is just someone now that you turn to when times are bad and the nights are dark and difficult. Would to God we had the spirit of this woman despite her reputation. And if you find yourself tonight out of fellowship with Christ, may he restore unto you the joy of your salvation. The place where Jesus entered, the person whom Jesus embraced, the problem that Jesus encountered very quickly. You know, when he saw what the woman had done, and then he saw the response of Simon to all that had happened, he very quickly told Simon and those there a parable. The thrust of the parable is simply this, that the woman had been forgiven much, and therefore she showed her love for Christ in such a generous way. Whatever she had been in the past, she was forgiven. And because she is now forgiven, she loves the Lord Jesus Christ so intensely. And Jesus says that this woman that you would not bring into your home has done for me in your home, Simon, what you would never have done. She was forgiven much. And look at, she shows it. But then Jesus goes on very quickly. He confirms this woman's faith and he simply says to her at the very end of this chapter, woman, thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. Well, if Simon had a difficulty before, now this is a greater one. He has come into Simon's house as a guest. He has pardoned a woman whose reputation has gone before her. He has not rebuked her for what she has done with the alabaster box. And now to put a lid on everything, he turns around and he says to her, your sins are forgiven you. And Jesus Christ had forgiven her. And these Pharisees, including Simon, had missed the point yet again, because they still hadn't recognized who Jesus was and the power and authority that Jesus had even to forgive sins. Let's not miss this tonight. Do you see what the Lord Jesus Christ did for this woman? The Lord Jesus Christ can do for you tonight. What she experienced, any one of us and every one of us could share in that same experience. And despite her sin and the depth of that sin, if we come to Christ as this woman did, and we come in repentance and in faith and we are sorry for that sin and we're prepared to leave that sin, then Jesus Christ forgives us, and he'll forgive us immediately, and he will forgive us completely. Because our sins, though they may be many, can be washed away in the precious blood that the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross. That's why we started tonight, would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Power tonight that can cleanse you and me from every single sin. And there's nothing like knowing the joy of sins forgiven. Is that where you are tonight, man or woman? Young person. Because if it's not, you need to come to the foot of Christ himself and find forgiveness through the blood that he shed for your sins at the cross. Francis Ridley Havergal, the well-known hymn writer, born in England in 1836. She was a daughter of a vicar, very talented. By the age of 4, she was able to read and understand her Bible. Later, developed a love for writing poetry and hymns. She never enjoyed the best of health. But you know, God enabled her to write many soul-inspiring hymns. One of them is entitled Nothing to Pay, and this is what she says. Nothing to pay, yes, nothing to pay. Jesus has cleared all the debt away, blotted it out with his bleeding hand, free, unforgiven, and loved, you stand. You see, like Frances Ridley Havergal, this penitent woman loved the Lord Jesus. She was a great sinner, but she met a great Savior, and he cleansed her from all her sin. And you could meet that great Savior tonight too, and he could cleanse you from all your sin, no matter how deep down in sin you might be. Will you trust him and know what it is to be pardoned and go home tonight with the burden of sin removed from you once and for all, and thank God forever?